Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Sorry, I thought you were... Hello again, everybody. Jeff Linder here with KJ Pilcher, Jeff Johnson. Another week of the triple option, Iowa High School Football podcast. Thanks for joining us. And we're going indoors now after, 11 weeks of really pretty good weather for the most part outdoors. We go inside to the Unidome. We're down to four area teams. We've got Xavier playing on Thursday against Newton. Regina plays Grundy Center Friday morning in Class 1A. In Class 5A, it's Liberty and Waukee Northwest. And Saturday night, it's Solon Nevada. So we've got a 10 a.m. game and three sevens. Let's just kind of run through what happened last week. We'll just go through scores really, really quick. Let's start eight player. Algona Garrigan beat Don Bosco 51-21. Gladbrook Rhinebeck over Edco 54-18. Audubon beat Iowa Valley 26-19 in a departure from the way most Iowa Valley games are played, very high scoring. We'll come back to that in a second. Woodbine over Fremont Mills, 50-12. KJ, we'll start with you. You had that game at Marengo last week. What did you see there?
Yeah, well, like you said, kind of an interesting defensive battle for the most part, despite both teams being at the top of Class 8, man, 8-player in – in offense. Iowa Valley came out right out of the gate, threw a deep pass from Kriegel to Pesca for a touchdown, but after that it really was Audubon the rest of the way. They came down and scored a huge fourth down pass from Aiden Kiergaard to Austin Christensen. Might have been fourth and goal from the 33 or something like that. Or fourth and long from the 33. And that really kind of flipped things in Audubon's favor. They scored a couple more touchdowns before halftime. And then to open the second half, they threw a pass from Kiergaard to Christensen again. This one probably about 60, 65 yards for a score, and they were up 26-6 at the time and just kind of coasted, even though Iowa Valley played a lot better in the second half. They did get within probably about 10 or 12 yards of the goal line when time ran out. But really after that opening drive, Audubon was in control and capped off, just kind of ended a nice season by Iowa Valley, not where they wanted to finish up, but good campaign. They've got some good playmakers back, including Kriegel and Pesca and a few others. So I expect Iowa Valley to be good again next year. Just came up a win short of the Unidome.
Okay. JJ, you were in Gladbrook for the Rebels and the Edco Vikings. What were the sights and sounds and thoughts from thoughts from last Thursday?
Well, I was a little reticent, Jeff, when I walked up the stadium, and then I threw out Jeff and Cindy Linder's name, and it was, you know, they rolled out the red carpet for me, which was really nice. Cindy Linder is a graduate of Gladbrook High School, folks. So, and actually, the person I sat next to, or stood next to in the press box, was New You, Jeff. So he's Jason Esslinger's brother-in-law. Jason.
Okay. Okay.
Iowa Girls High School. Yeah, girl. IGHSAU. There. I only know it by his name. So
yeah.
Nice facility there and a really nice football team. So
yeah, it's kind of the last thing that's from that school that's still in Gladbrook. So
everything else is in Rhinebeck, and they're like what, 20 miles apart?
I think 17. It's not like they're hop, skip, and a jump. So
no, interesting.
Yeah. So we'll go back. We'll talk about Friday. We'll go to Class 5A's quarterfinals. Let's see. I know, JJ, you were at Liberty. We'll come back to that. We'll get all the scores. Valley 28, Johnston 21. Dowling 35, Iowa City West nothing. Waukee Northwest 48, Sioux City East 34. And a really, really nice season ends. Win short for Sioux City East. And Iowa City Liberty 31, Southeast Polk 28. That was the second time that those two teams have played this season. The last game was – the first game was all Liberty. This second one was a nail-biter, wasn't it? JJ, were you at Liberty?
Yeah, 31-28. What a game. It's what a fourth quarter. You know, definitely was one of the best games, if not the best game I saw this or covered this season. And the fourth quarter was kind of bonkers. And, you know, we talked about it, boys, Southeast Polk, right? The champs die hard, and they did again. Just a mammoth offensive line that allowed them to run the football almost at will at times. And, you know, they used some unbalanced line up front. They went with six offensive linemen, one of them obviously being tight end eligible, and just ran the football. And, you know, Logan Thompson, first play of the game, 74 yards and a touchdown. So it was like, all right, well, better buckle up. This was not near the regular season game that Liberty won handily. It was up 38-0 and won, I think, 38-20. And, you know, fourth quarter, teams went back and forth. And, you know, Liberty was down, 28-24. You know, started to drive with, I don't know, about 6 minutes left or so, and converted 3 fourth downs on the drive, including a couple that were like 4th and 10 and 4th and 12. And, you know, Reddick to Reiners for the touchdown, and you know, that was the difference in the game. Then the ensuing kickoff that was huge, deflected off the helmet of the kick returner and went right out of bounds at the 2 yard line. So Southeast Polk had to go like 98 yards with, you know, minute and a half left, and it didn't quite happen. So back to back in the semifinals for Liberty, and, you know, a tall task to say the least against Waukee Northwest here on Friday night. And I got my calculator ready, baby, because that could be like 56-54 or something like that with the offenses those two teams have.
Yeah. Class 4A, Newton defeated Gilbert 42-14, ending Gilbert's undefeated season. Pella over Decorah 7-6. Sergeant Bluff Luton 55-15 over North Polk. And the game I was at, Cedar Rapids Xavier 45, ADM 7. And boy, Xavier played great the way they've played all year. They were great in all three phases. I don't know what you can say. Cash Parks threw 4 touchdown passes to 4 different guys. They made a 44-yard field goal. Outgained ADM 408-195, just a complete game. And, you know, I would say that they looked unbeatable last night, but I would have said a week ago that Clear Lake looked unbeatable in Class 3A. So, you know where that gets you. So, we'll go to 3A, and, the game that KJ was at included there, Sioux City Helan over Sioux Center 35-14. Nevada over the aforementioned Clear Lake Lions 24-14. Solon over Winterset 21-6 and Dubuque Wallard 27-6 over West Delaware. West Delaware ends a really nice two-loss season. Solon moves on. Wallard avenged an earlier defeat this year to West Delaware, and KJ was in Manchester for that. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, like you mentioned, West Delaware won the regular season matchup there at home. Waller had a chance to tie it at the end, but West Delaware had a good defensive stand. So it was a close game the first time they met. This time, it not so much. Waller led throughout, a real key turn of events. In the first quarter, after Waller went down and scored, nice touchdown pass from J.P. Albert to Brody Schumacher, who's back, I believe, missed some time for Waller. He made a big impact for the Golden Eagles. But they opened with a 21-yard TD pass there. West Delaware seemed to answer, drove down inside the five. They had third and goal from the one and came up just a bit short, called timeout, decided to go for it. In the scrum, as they were trying a little QB sneak with Schneiders. In the chaos, Waller jumped up with the ball in the end zone. It was ruled a fumble before he crossed the line and ruled a touchback. And then on the next play, Albert looked like he was going on a little bit of a sweep to the right, stepped back, and found a wide-open Josh Olke for an 80-yard touchdown pass. So you went from possibly going tying the game 7-7 to being down two scores. And it was just all Wallard after that. J.P. Albert had four touchdowns total running for TDs in the second and fourth quarters. West Delaware got on the board in the third on a Jack Cantwell five-yard TD run. And interestingly, I mean, West Delaware, you know what they're going to do. They ran for 232 yards. 50 more on the ground than Waller, but Albert passed for 161 yards, and those two big scores. So Waller's defense a little bent but don't break. They had the big turnover there, and Schumacher being back helps. I mean, he had over almost 120 yards of total offense for Waller too. So Wallert avenges a loss in the regular season and looks pretty good going into the semis.
Okay. Class 2A had a couple area teams have really nice seasons come to an end there. Van Meter over Mid Prairie 28-21. Osage holds off Albernette 12-7. Number one, Carol Kemper 43-26 over Cherokee. And I guess probably the closest thing we can say close to a Cinderella is Wilton, 21-17 winner over PCM, which I don't know about you guys, but that might have been the surprise of the night, other than Clear Lake. 1A Friday, Grundy Center keeps rolling along, 21-0 over Dyersville Beckman, Regina 49-7 over Pleasantville, South Hardin over Trainer 27-14, West Lyon 57-22 over Underwood. Class A, we've got West Sioux over ACGC 24-14. MMCRU 42-6 over Woodbury Central. St. Ansgar ends North Lynn season 49-21. Wapsie Valley 22-16 over Linville Sully. So anything really, really stand out to you guys? I mentioned Clear Lake, you know, of the – any of the seven classes from last week?
Not too
much. Yeah, that was the one, Jeff. I Clear Lake, I did not necessarily see that. But Nevada played them tough. What, 7-point game maybe? I think in the regular season. So it's always that rematch thing. Yeah. You know, you know all about a team. And, you know, it's kind of like Wallert and West Delaware, I guess, in a sense, right? You know, turning around the regular season. So that was kind of my first thought. And then, you know, the big three and Regina in 1A made it, and that Regina Grundy game. What Grundy's got now 51 straight wins, I think it is. That should be just an unbelievable game. On what Friday morning,
Friday right? morning at 10. Yeah,
I guess that's my kind of my my biggest initial takeaways from the quarterfinals. So,
we head indoors. The first 8-player game is complete. Algona Garrigan beat Audubon 60-36. I hear Audubon turned it over 6 times, so it's kind of a small victory, I guess, that it was as close as it was. And the second 8-player game probably is underway now. Woodbine and Gladbrook Rhinebeck. Thursday, we go to Class A, 10 a.m. at St. Ansgar in Wapsie Valley. 1 o'clock, it's MMCRU in West Sioux in a rematch. And then at 4A in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, it's Sergeant Bluff, Luton, and Pella. 7 o'clock, it's Xavier and Newton. Friday, 10 o'clock, it's Grundy and Regina, like you said, and that'll be a dandy. 1 o'clock, it's West Lyon in South Hardin. 5A, it's Dowling and Valley at 4, and seems they play 2 or 3 times every year.
Every year.
Waukee Northwest in Liberty at 7. And then Saturday, it's 10, it's Osage and Van Meter and Carol Kemper and Wilton. And then in 3A at 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, it's Helan and Wallert. And then it's Solon and Nevada to finish the slate. So, JJ, you've got Xavier Newton on Thursday and Liberty Northwest on Friday. And KJ's got Regina Grundy on Friday and Solon and Nevada on Saturday. True?
That is accurate. And my games, anyway. Could be a lot of offense. We, talked very briefly about Northwest and Liberty. Northwest quarterback, the Mac Heitland, was just looking at the stats. I think he's got like 29 touchdown passes and no interceptions this season, which is insane. Yeah. But that's just how efficient Northwest offense has been. And, everybody knows about Liberty and its ability to move the football and score points. And then same thing in the Xavier Newton game to me, guys, and, did a story on Cash Parks, the quarterback for Xavier. And he talked about, his appreciation for football and life in general after a pretty bad car accident last fall. So I think that might be posted up in the Gazette right now, but he's had a great season. 26 touchdowns, 1 interception. And that came in the regular season finale against Mason City. And then Newton, I think they're 1-2 in the class, if I remember correctly, in scoring in 4A. So, which defense is going to show up best. I wouldn't discount Coach O'Connell's defense at Xavier maybe being the difference in this game. So, yeah, but looking forward to it.
Yeah. KJ, anything stand out about the two games you're going to be covering this weekend?
Really interesting matchup with Regina and Grundy Center. I think all year long we talked about the big three in 1A.
Yep.
You've got, you've really got a trio, and even more than that for Regina. But you look at Kyle Tracy at quarterback, Savion Miller, and then Tate Wallace. Three playmakers, three really talented skill guys. Kyle Tracy leads the class with 41 touchdowns, ranked second with 31 passing touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards passing, and, of course, 500 of that has gone to Wallace, 35 catches, 9 touchdowns, which JJ has kind of mentioned this week that, his recruiting is really fired up here lately. As well, Miller getting closer to 900 yards rushing, That's 15 touchdowns. Great balance there. But then Grunny Center has Judd Jarofsky, outstanding All-State player, quarterback for Grundy, that's had over 2,200 yards, including 1,340 passing, 20 TDs through the air, and then 18 on the ground. So, you know, that prototypical dual threat guy who just signed to play golf at Stanford earlier today. So,
wow.
You know, great all-around athlete there. And thing that really impresses me is he's not just a one-way guy. He's one of the state leaders with five interceptions on the defensive side. So, you know, he counts, I think, for like 57% of Grundy's points. You know he's going to get the ball. It's just whether or not you're going to be able to stop him. And then, you know, the Grundy defense, you know, we talked about Regina's talent on the offensive side, but the Spartans, 26 turnovers, which is a huge number, 17 interceptions. So Regina's got to take care of the ball. Of course, you know, Grundy's won 50 straight games dating back to the like the 2021 title game against West Hancock in Class A. And the last few times these teams met, I think it was in the 2020 championship game in Class A that Regina won. So kind of interesting tidbits there. As far as Solon and Nevada go, I think you've got two teams on the different on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to playing in games like this. If I counted right, I think this is the 18th semifinal appearance for Solon, second in the last 3 years. And this is Nevada's first. I think they've only made the postseason nine or 10 times. So we'll see how they react to the big spotlight. And of course, with Solon, Eli Campman, huge season for them, 34 total touchdowns, including 28 passing. He's had nice targets with Maddox Kelly, Caden Hooper. They've been able to really kind of air things out. And Nevada's quarterback, Drake Henson, has helped the Cubs score about 30 points a game. So we'll see if Solon's defense can kind of put the clamps on him and Austin Waldera, who's almost rushed for 1,000 yards for Nevada. And that might be where the game is won, whether or not Solon can limit what Nevada does, and if Nevada can kind of match Solon with points.
Okay. We'll just go in. I'm sorry, JJ, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going back to Grundy Center real quick, Travis Zajac has been the head coach during this incredible run. He was at Dubuque-Wallert prior to going to Grundy Center. I think he's a local guy originally from Grundy Center. So it's just kind of interesting to me that, you know, he came to Grundy Center or he did a really good job at Wallert. And then he came to Grundy Center and has been the architect of this. And, you know, Jamie Marshall came in to replace him as head coach, and Wallert's a championship program. So it's fun. I just thought it was kind of unique and kind of, you know, the coaching symmetry there and two really good football coaches that have produced some state championships for their respective schools.
Okay.
Sorry, Jeff.
No, that's okay. Just a couple things here. We'll do a couple things as far as the semifinals are concerned. If I put the line at two, so we've got four areas teams still going. If I put the line at two to make the finals, would you go, JJ, would you go higher, lower, or push?
Higher. I think we're going to have three at least.
Okay. KJ.
No, I don't know. Maybe a push.
Okay.
How about you?
I said two, so I'm saying I'm sticking with
okay.
two.
All right.
any predictions? Anybody have a lock for the semis or an upset special as far as something that you think might happen this weekend?
I think we're going to have a championship game team come from West Des Moines. How's that? Going out on a limb.
Okay. Valley or Dowling?
That's, of course, Valley. Valley and Dowling right. play each other.
All so. Right. KJ?
I'll go with Algona Garrigan over Audubon.
There you go. any last thoughts before we sign off for today?
I mean, I love this week. I really do. You know, all the semifinal games and being in the Uni Dome and being on TV, I think, right? All of them now publicly without having to pay for it. But, of course, you know, Twitter and the .com for at KJ Pilcher and at JEJE66 is all the only place you need to go. And at thegazette.com. So right. there you go.
So. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for, is this week 12? So thanks for everybody for joining us and follow these guys throughout the weekend and enjoy being indoors, 72 degrees in the dome. Thanks for joining us.